the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Delighted to say Ronan O'Gara is with us. Ronan, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Hey, Jar. I'm okay yourself.
So we're talking there about Ross Byrne and how he's nailed down the understudy role. I don't know if it's still fair to call it an understudy role to Johnny Sexton, but this is an important time to be the number two because we don't know how long Johnny Sexton is going to be able to compete at this level for.
Yeah, he has been steadily improving, absolutely no doubt about it. And I think it's been hard for him too because he's in the shadow of a great, great player. And maybe he'll get better when Johnny goes. But I think, as Rory says there, I think the big bonus, I suppose, was his running game at the weekend. He was a threat with ball in hand. I think he is really, really strong tactically, and he marshals his team brilliantly around the pitch. But it was also, I think, great management of a squad from Leinster's point of view, and the fact that initially I was a bit surprised that Johnny wouldn't start the final, and then you kind of look at the minutes played and you reward the guy who has got them there, and then what a performance he had at the weekend. So you know, I think when you listen, you have Harry Byrne chomping to get in there. His big brother is not for budging, and then you have someone like Kieran Frawley there. It's a great place to be, but that's, I suppose, just the words. It's the act that the Leinster, I suppose, Leo and Stuart are managing that situation. It was a great bit of shrewd management, I thought.
One of the things that Ross Byrne doesn't have a whole heap of experience of is playing behind a pack that's getting beaten up. He did play in the England game in the World Cup warm-ups when there was that Hunger Games going on to see who was going to be the out half that got to go as backup. And everybody came out of that game with reputations a little bit damaged. So it was a bit unfair for that to be his audition for Ireland in some ways.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. And it's not his fault that the Leinster pack are going forward every week. Jerry, you know, he has to be judged on what he's doing, and I think what you'd have to say is that, is he getting better every week? And I think he is, and he is a very good game manager, and the reality is he'll probably be better in 4 years' time, because with the age profile, and as a 10, you need to be playing, and he's playing a lot now, but he's still probably you know, on the shy side of experience in terms of, for example, you look at Finn Russell for Racing, you know, how consistent he has got in the last 18 months. And I think that's an experience thing, and it's a confidence thing. But that's what happens in the number 10 position, that if you find yourself playing 3 out of the 4 Saturdays and you're playing in a good side and you have talent and you work hard, you will get better.
There's an element of patience about staying at Leinster because you're looking forward to the point where you're going to be the number 10. And at the same time, you still have an all-time great in Johnny Sexton, who is raging at the dying of the light and saying, I'm not going anywhere. There's the Lions to look forward to. And then if I still feel fit after that, I'm going to keep playing.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's, you know, I saw that in the Crusaders too. It's guys that want to be part of a great culture, a great environment, a great legacy. In terms of the guy who springs to mind would be Tim Bateman. For me, I think he might have played 4 games, but when he played, he was really good. But he actually kind of saw his role, the importance of preparing the so-called first team for the weekend. And he wanted to kind of be part of a team that were all about silverware, as opposed to maybe moving to any of the other New Zealand franchises and being a starter every week. So so much of it has got to do with the mindset of what players want to achieve and how much I suppose they feel valued, Jar, would be it. And Leinster are excelling in that. If you take the number 10 position in a case in point, it's a big game, there's silverware on the line, but they staff going on. Ross Byrne is playing 10 this week. That's the way it is.
We have Bernard Brogan on a little bit later on talking about his book, and he makes the point that after he came back from his cruciate, he worked unbelievably hard to get back in record time, beat all the benchmarks from anybody who could find access to the details, got back in time, and over the next 2 years essentially played 2 5 minutes of football, and yet was at every training session, was fit for everything, was always available, was driving standards in training, was giving feedback to people. That's a level of commitment to that type of team building that you're talking about that very few people actually have at the end of their career.
Yeah, and I think when you're a player in that environment and you're a competitor, it's not actually what people write about you. It's kind of what the boys in the dressing room say about you when you're be gone. So, you know, your talk about leaving in a better place, and Bernard Brogan is a perfect example of it. Yeah, he didn't probably, I suppose, get the massive game time that he would have craved. But I think you can see in the way, I suppose, he's transitioned out from his retirement that he feels really good about himself, because I think he stayed true to his values, and he left every ounce out on the Dublin training pitch. And that's, I think, what happens when you got high performing competitors, and it'll be the same. And Leinster was the same, and Munster in my time when you play. But then there comes a time when you know nearly that, okay, my time is up here now. And but it's so hard to accept that, and it becomes a really tricky point in the eyes of the manager.
A manager who obviously has trusted you for so long, and it's tough for them as well to pull the plug at times in your starting berth, I'd imagine.
Of course, and that's it, because you see it very differently. You're blind to it, and you don't see it. And I can remember my last season with Munster. I was probably in denial, but then 6 months later, you kind of go, well, actually, yeah, I can see what they were saying. I can see I was valuable, but nowhere near as valuable as I thought I was. But that's, you got to be thinking you're more important. Otherwise, if you lose that kind of that dying, burning will inside you, then the game is already up, because it's so hard to win these semi-finals or finals of European Cups. But I think what you don't see from a player's point of view is that you don't see the global vision, and that's what skilled managers do. They kind of just kind of probably lead you to a point where, okay, I can kind of understand it, but I don't accept it.
It's almost essential to be pig-headed as an athlete, I'd imagine, Ronan, that you have to believe that you still have it at all times. Otherwise, it'll be a very, very quick end. I'm just guessing there, but it sounds from the way you talk from a lot of ex-professionals from the end of their days, you almost need to believe that the end of days is never coming.
Yeah, you do, genuinely, because I honestly, it keeps coming back to performance, because it's the same, I suppose, rationale for why would you put in a guy that's 18 into a national team, or why would you play a guy at 35 in the national team? Well, if his performances are good enough and he's consistently doing it, then he fits the criteria to start every week. But when you get to the latter stages of your career with the body, it becomes more and more difficult because of, I suppose, different mental stimulus in terms of some guys. The majority of the dressing room probably aren't your generation, but that doesn't really matter if you're a competitor, because you see it as an internal game against yourself and the opportunity to play for your country or play for a team that you love becomes so powerful. And you don't lose that in your mid-30s at all. That's the reality of it. It just, sometimes it becomes harder and harder to back up those really high performances that you have set your standard, that you've kind of known throughout your late 20s or early 30s.
Now that you're a coach, like look at the kid and go, well, he's got more room to grow? Or do you look at do you anonymize it in your head and go, what's actually my best outcome this week?
Yeah, I think it's, every situation is completely different, George, for me. And I think it's something that you have to really stew over in your head many, many, many a time before you can come to a final decision, because obviously there's a lot of pluses for one scenario, there's a lot of negatives for the other scenario, but you sometimes there's very, very, very little in it. You just gotta trust your gut. And it is for this week, I think maybe something that I've got better, I hope, over my fledgling coaching career would be that it doesn't become that for, it's not a finite decision. It becomes this decision for this week, and then you kind of, I suppose, restart on a Sunday night with building for the performance for this Saturday. So the calls become very, very, very little margin between a positive or a negative about why you would leave a guy out and why would you put him in. And that's something that essentially that you can actually put your hand and say, I actually got that wrong.
Yeah, well, so in Brogan's case, for example, he thinks that there was an unconscious bias against him because he's one of the older lads, that if he had been a 20-year-old doing what he was doing in training, they would have had him straight in the team to make sure that they knew exactly what he was capable of. But because they'd seen him and they'd seen him make a few mistakes in games, they were like, well, look, we know what he can do. he's great for us for training at the moment, and that left him with a sense of injustice.
Yeah, I could say, Don, you know, I think the coach is getting a picture of, we see whatever in football, 70 minutes on a Sunday in Croke Park, what they're doing, but like, you know, I mean, the Dublin management get to see him essentially 5 nights a week or 5 days a week whenever they're training. So there's so much more, I suppose, that goes into the decision than the public would be aware of. And it genuinely could actually be tiny, tiny margins. And, you know, you're looking at a team where, like, it was even bloody difficult to make the Dublin bench, wasn't it? So
He couldn't make the B team in the A versus B game at one point towards the end and still kept showing up.
Yeah, but he's got to show up. Like, that for me is the minimum. Like, you're talking about one of the greatest footballers that Dublin has played. Maybe, you know, that's probably not an outrageous comment, but like, he kept showing up. Of course he showed up. That's his minimum duty to his teammates. He doesn't want to be remembered for sulking for the last 6 months of his inter-county career and undo all the other previous 15 years of good work. So I would say he kept showing up. Yes, of course he kept showing up, because he actually has a responsibility to his teammates to show up, to kind of, because the jersey has given him a lot as well. So I would think that would be the minimum he would do.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Like, I guess the idea as well that there.
Well, you know, I can think, you know what I mean? I remember when I got, like, dropped by Ireland and, you know, I was asked, you know, do you want to go to training? And I was saying, do I want to go to training? I said, it's everything I stand for. Of course I'd be a part now. Why am I too difficult to handle for the squad? Or what's the rationale? But, like, just because you're not picked and, I think it's Paddy Jackson and Johnny Sexton who are ahead of you. Of course I'm going to train, and I have a responsibility to make the team better for this weekend. Yeah, I'm disappointed I'm left out, but don't worry about me. I can manage that. I'd like to think, you know, that I was a starter, not for the previous 18 months. My head is well around this. It's out of the squad. Yeah, it's another hammer blow, but it's what's best for the team. And even as a player, I think at the latter stages, especially in my mid-30s, I would have really, really got that. But to kind of be asked, do you want to go to training, was kind of taken aback by that, because, you know, it's easy to be having the smile on the front when you're front and centre. But it's adversities when you see the real character, and that's what makes a good environment, I think.
Do you feel that players in that situation are often patronised, that there's kind of like a tap on the head saying, you kind of look after yourself now, don't be worrying about showing up to training or, I don't know, going above and beyond when you're not actually in the starting team? Because the way you're talking there, it's like, no, actually, forget that notion. I'm going to do what I do and always bring the highest level of standard.
Yeah, and I think that comes from, I suppose, constant feedback and depending on the relationship with the coach. But there's also there's the head man there, but there's also another, you know, I mean, 15 potential coaches or management that you care about, that you have a relationship with, that you feel you have a responsibility to show your best side. And when you get left out and we're faced with bitter disappointment, that's when people will be watching. So it was kind of important that when you talk to, I suppose, a sports psychologist or your mentors or people that looked after you, cared about you, it was good that you kind of give them a reaction that they least expect, or they'd expect you to kind of be down. But actually, no, don't be. It's tough, but it can be done. And I think was probably passed on from players that I played with that were competitors that you learned from, and that made you kind of appreciate it. Still playing for Munster, still playing for Ireland or the Lions. It's whether you're on the starting 15 or you're outside the group, it's a great position to be in when you stand back from it.
Ron, were you going to ask one more about Ross Byrne?
There was just one final point on Ross Byrne, Ronan. Keith Wood was making the point last night that he's actually developed a new element to his game where he is willing to step forward a lot more, where he is willing to take the tackle a lot more than he used to. I'm not sure if that's something that you've also identified, if that's something that kind of takes time as an out-half to actually have the bravery to realise that you need to take that risk. You need to be able to take that big hit with fellas coming at you?
Yeah, I well, there's obviously two sides. That there's, I think he's very brave in defence and he makes his tackles, and that's important. With the ball, I think that's something he's got better, and he will get better. Will get better at. But I think you know, the mistake a lot of people make is that you compare him to, you know, a great player in Johnny, and Johnny is Johnny, and he's has his own legacy. What Ross Burnley said, he was concentrating himself, and I think he's getting that opportunity to grow in the Leinster team, and he is, I think, making really telling impact in the game, as the lad said in the previous discussion. He seems to be, I suppose, the more we see of him, the more he feels natural, composed, confident, and I think that'll only get better from his point of view, because I think he does has a probably underappreciated capacity to influence the game more than people realise. I think he's very good at calling the right play at the right time, and then there's other times where I think he's very smart in terms of he understands what his forwards needs, and he has a nice bit of old school out half of him, and well, the fact that he can kick the ball, and he can kick the ball far.
Running the top 14 fixtures, they're off for a couple of weeks now, is that right?
Well, you're off if you're not in Europe, and we're not in Europe, so, well, no, the big teams are playing this weekend, obviously.
Right.
Three French teams, yeah, playing quarterfinals. So that's why, yeah, next two weekends, quarterfinals, semi-finals, yeah, and then back the following weekend.
And do you give the players a down week, or do you get extra pre-season into them? How do you treat that?
No, this week now is a few days off, and then back on Friday for COVID testing, and hopefully we get the all clear from that, and then you kind of have a training week next week, and then a normal week with the week of the Racing game. So, yeah, so we lost it to Toulouse at the weekend, away from home, which was disappointing. We were good for, well, good-ish for 74 minutes, 3 points in it, and then exploding the last six. So we've work to do, but that's to be expected.
So you've won one and lost one coming back since the start of the season, the restart of the season, start of the new season, obviously. How has that whole experience been?
It's a bit surreal, obviously, with the with just a lot of the time we have to train in the afternoon because we have to get testing the morning, and then you have to wait the kind of 4 hours till you get the results. We've been really lucky in the fact we've brilliant, I suppose, local laboratories that are helping us out, and I suppose fast tracking our testing, so it gives us the capacity to be tested 3 or 4 times a week and get the results within the space of a few hours. So that's worked well, but you just kind of have to always be tweaking your, I suppose, your daily schedule. But yeah, it's great to be playing rugby. That's the most important thing. We had a good win against Toulon at home, and then just kind of disappointing against Toulouse, but some aspects were good. We've taken a step forward, no doubt about it, but you know, kind of when you're someone like Colby in your team, it's hard to get to defend him at times, and he scored 2 tries out of nothing at the weekend, and those 14 points were the difference.
The return, there's been a lot of penalties being given away as players are kind of getting used to what the I think probably players and the officials as well getting used to what the rules are supposed to be and how they're supposed to be interpreted. Has that been the same in France, or has essentially it been the same as last season?
I'd say it's been worse in France, but that wouldn't be a surprise, I think, in the fact that, you know, I mean, people use the word discipline, but sure, discipline's an act, and it's something you need to, it's a behaviour, and something you need to work Monday to Friday. You can't just be disciplined on a Saturday. So a lot of the penalty counts here are up in the 40s, which is a staggering statistic, really, in terms of the top 14 games. Yeah, but like, A would be probably, I suppose, the understanding and the comprehension of the new rules, and B would be actually the application. When your heart rate is whatever up over 180 beats per minute, people, players, all of us are probably struggling in that regard. And it's the actual task of, it's okay in training that to can you manage, I suppose, your frustrations and your behaviours, but when it comes to games, a lot of the teams are struggling, us included.
All right, Ronan, great to have you with us this morning. Thanks a million.
Cheers, guys. Good to chat. Thanks.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.